Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. One in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number, the Million Dollar Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Mara Larkin turned 20 in late autumn, and the closer this date got, the more she felt like she was betraying her own life by talking about it. Not because she wanted attention. She didn't. Mara had spent most of her childhood trying to be forgettable on purpose. Quiet, cooperative, easy to overlook. It had been safer that way. Her parents had never married. Her father raised her alone in a way that made it clear he'd never planned on being a single parent. He wasn't cruel, exactly. He was just absent in all the ways that mattered. He worked, he paid rent, he stocked the fridge, and he kept to himself. Mara learned early that if she needed comfort, she would have to find it somewhere else. She almost never saw her mother. Mara grew up with a few blurry facts and no real story. When she asked questions, her father's expression tightened like a knot being pulled. The conversation would end, and Mara would swallow whatever else she wanted to say. So she didn't make friends easily. She was shy, and moving didn't help. Four elementary schools, multiple apartment complexes, new bedrooms that smelled like other people's lives. The kind of childhood where you learn how to pack quickly and where you stop putting posters on the wall because what's the point? Mara was alone a lot, but she was never alone in her head. She was young, too young to pin down exactly how young, when the other voice became a constant. She remembered sitting on the carpet with dolls, narrating a story out loud and asking a question, the way children do when they talk to themselves. And then she received an answer. It didn't come from the room. Her ears didn't hear it. It arrived in her mind like a thought she hadn't made, clear, calm, and perfectly timed. The voice sounded like hers, but it wasn't hers. It had her tone, her rhythm, her vocabulary, but it sat lower, steadier, like the adult version of her voice that hadn't existed yet. When Mara asked who it was, it answered immediately. Your brother. Mara frowned at her dolls and said out loud that she didn't have a brother. The voice didn't argue. It explained patiently, almost kindly, that he had been there first, that he had existed before she did, that he died in an accident and no one talked about it because it hurt too much. The story was bizarre and oddly specific. A kitchen, a sandwich, a knife, a fall. Something sharp and sudden that made the whole thing feel too ridiculous to invent. Mara believed it anyway. She asked her father later, tentatively, about the brother he'd never mentioned. Her father stared at her like the question made no sense. Then he asked where she'd heard something like that. When Mara said she knew it, her father's face tightened in the same way it always did when her mother came up. He told her flatly, there had never been another child. That night, Mara told the voice her father said he was lying. The voice answered without pause. He's the one lying. Mara didn't know who to believe. She was small. Her world was limited to what she could see and what she could feel. And in that world, the voice was there, always there, steady as a hand at her back. As she got older, she stopped calling him her brother and started thinking of him as what everyone else would call an imaginary friend. She asked once if he would go away someday. Maybe, he said, maybe not. That was the part that made him different from any imaginary friend she'd ever heard other kids talk about. He didn't fade as she grew. He didn't become embarrassing or distant or irrelevant. If anything, he became more useful. He listened. He asked questions when she spiraled into anxious loops. He nudged her away from choices that would hurt her. He scolded her gently when she was reckless, when she cried quietly in the bathroom because she didn't know how to be a person around other people. He didn't tell her to stop crying. He waited until she could breathe again. Sometimes Mara wondered if he was simply her conscience, an internal voice made sharper by loneliness, a coping mechanism that had grown teeth and a personality. That explanation made her feel normal. But he had opinions she didn't expect. He used words she wouldn't have chosen. Sometimes he knew what she was going to say before she said it, and it felt less like instinct and more like someone waiting beside her in a dim hallway. When Mara was 13, he asked her to stop calling him brother altogether. Call me Owen, he said. Mara blinked, lying in bed, staring at the ceiling in the dark. She asked why. It's time, Owen said. It suits me now. The name didn't belong to anyone she knew. That made it worse. If her mind had invented him, wouldn't it have picked something familiar? She called him Owen anyway. Around that same time, Mara and her father finally stopped moving. They ended up in a small New England town where pine trees pressed close to the roads and the nights were quiet enough to hear the wind change direction. Their rental sat on the edge of a development built on what used to be woods. And behind the backyard, beyond a chain-link fence and a line of scrubby birch, there was a power substation. It hummed day and night, a low, constant vibration that Mara swore she could feel in her teeth if she stood close enough. At first, she didn't associate it with anything. It was just part of the landscape. Then the other things started. In the middle of the night, Mara would slip into her father's room because she couldn't sleep. She'd lie on the floor beside his bed, wrapped in a blanket, and stare into the dimness. That was when she began to notice the movement. Along the baseboards near the corner, where the dresser met the wall, shadows would gather and stretch into shapes that looked like small animals. Not detailed, not realistic, more like silhouettes cut from black paper. They moved in a slow, steady line from one corner of the room toward the closet. Mara watched them for weeks before she felt any fear. Sometimes she blocked their path, with her hand, just to test reality. Her fingers didn't meet anything solid. The shapes didn't scatter. They simply flowed around her hand like smoke, keeping their direction, never acknowledging her. It should have been terrifying. But it wasn't, not at first. It was weird in the same way a dream is weird. Something you accept while you're inside it because it feels like it has its own rules. Owen didn't react when she told him. They've been around you a long time, he said. Mara sat up in the dark and asked him what that meant. Owen's pause felt deliberate. It means you're noticing, he finally said. That's all. By middle school, the novelty was gone. The animals were still there sometimes, but what bothered Mara more was the feeling that something else was watching. Not the little shadows on the floor. Something bigger. Sometimes the unease came from her own closet, as if the space behind her hanging clothes had depth that didn't belong there. Sometimes it came from her father's closet when she slept on the floor. And on a handful of nights, nights that still lodged in her memory like splinters, she looked out the window and saw a figure in the yard. It didn't move. It didn't wave. It didn't approach. It stood in a place where the lawn met the darkness near the fence, and its eyes reflected pale light like an animal caught in headlights. Except the shape around the eyes was too tall, too still, too wrong. Mara missed school more than once because she couldn't sleep. She stopped telling anyone why. She couldn't explain how you could be exhausted and still afraid to close your eyes. When she tried to dismiss it all as a stress, the house answered with something harder to ignore. One afternoon, home alone, Mara heard a bang from the small room that had once been meant to be a nursery, now used as storage. It wasn't a creak or a settling sound. It was the hard, sharp sound of something being struck. Mara walked toward the room, telling herself it was a shelf shifting, a box falling, a cat she didn't have sneaking in through an open window, anything but what her stomach already knew. The moment she crossed the threshold, the air changed. The temperature dropped. The room didn't feel empty. It felt crowded with invisible attention, focused, angry, and immediate. Mara turned to leave, and something behind her pushed. Not a shove that knocked her down. Something more persistent, a pressure at her back as if hands were placed between her shoulder blades and steadily applied force. Mara dug her heels into the carpet out of instinct, leaning back, trying to resist. It didn't matter. The pressure kept coming until she was pushed out into the hallway where it stopped the moment she cleared the doorway. Mara stood there, heart pounding, staring at the dark room as if it might explain itself. Owen said nothing. For the first time in her life, Mara wasn't sure if she wanted him to. The move into her father's bedroom happened quietly, without ceremony. By the time Mara started high school, her father decided she needed her own space in a more practical sense. The smaller bedroom had become storage, and the larger room, once his, was better suited for a teenager. He didn't ask how she felt about it. He painted the walls, moved his things out, and told her it was hers now. The closet door didn't survive the transition. Mara noticed immediately. Every morning she passed the closet on her way out of the room. Every night she passed it again to reach her bed. The shadows that had once stayed low to the floor now seemed closer, more defined, especially in the corners of her vision. Sometimes in the middle of the afternoon she would catch movement near the closet opening, quick, low shapes darting just beyond the line of focus. The animals were still there, but the watcher felt closer. Mara didn't tell her father. She didn't tell her friends. She told Owen. He listened the way he always did, and when she asked whether the figure in the yard and the presence in the closet were the same, he didn't answer right away. "You've always asked the wrong questions," he finally said. Mara didn't like that. She asked what the right question was. "Why you?" Owen replied. That unsettled her more than the silence ever had. In an attempt to reclaim some sense of control, Mara began reading about spiritual boundaries, protection, and perception. She prayed more deliberately. She stopped watching anything that might stir her imagination before bed. She kept her routines strict and predictable, and eventually, she bought a pendulum. It wasn't an impulsive decision. She chose one made of quartz, something she associated with clarity and neutrality. She waited days before using it, rehearsing prayers she'd memorized from church, asking for protection before and after each attempt. She told herself she wasn't trying to summon anything. She only wanted information. The pendulum sessions were slow and frustrating. It didn't move dramatically. It barely moved at all. But when she asked about the figure, the one that watched, the one that stood in thresholds, the pendulum's motion changed. She asked if it was a man. Yes. She asked if it meant her harm. No. She asked if it had a name. The pendulum swung, hesitated, then spelled out a name she didn't recognize and didn't want to linger on. She didn't trust it enough to repeat it aloud. She didn't trust herself enough to remember it clearly. Owen didn't comment on the sessions unless she asked. When she did, he never contradicted the pendulum. He never confirmed it either. Tools don't create answers, he told her. They just give shape to questions. The unease never went away, but sleep became easier once her father improvised a solution. He leaned a solid slab of wood against the closet opening at night, a door in everything but name. It blocked the view without sealing the space completely. Mara slept better with it there. Not because she believed it stopped anything, but because it restored a boundary she hadn't realized she needed. College felt like an escape. She left for Pennsylvania with relief humming through her chest, convinced that distance would solve what time hadn't. The campus was old, full of stories and rumors, but she didn't feel connected to them. The ghosts people talked about didn't feel personal. At first, nothing followed her. Then one night, lying in her dorm bed long after her roommate had fallen asleep, Mara opened her eyes and saw a shape in the doorway. It stood where the light from the hall couldn't reach, tall enough to interrupt the line of the doorframe. It didn't move. It didn't approach. It watched. Mara squeezed her eyes shut and waited for fear to crest and pass. When she looked again, it was gone. She changed dorms. She started sleeping in her boyfriend's room. She altered her schedule, her routines, her surroundings. The shadow appeared anyway. Always in doorways, always at the edge of rooms, never closer. She wasn't as afraid as she had been as a child. The years had dulled that sharp edge of terror into something quieter and heavier. It felt less like being stalked and more like being accompanied by something she didn't fully understand. Owen remained constant. He never reacted to the shadow with alarm. When she asked if it would hurt her, his answer was steady. Hasn't yet. Mara didn't know whether to find comfort in that or not. When she returned home during breaks, the animals resumed their familiar paths across the floor. The closet presence returned to its old post. Nothing escalated. Nothing resolved. She began to understand that whatever she was dealing with did not belong to places. It belonged to proximity. And she was running out of ways to increase distance. By her second year of college, Mara stopped hoping for explanations. Hope implied an ending. And nothing in her life suggested that endings came easily. What she wanted now was clarity, some stable understanding she could live alongside without feeling like the ground might tilt at any moment. She didn't tell anyone about the shadow anymore. Not her boyfriend, not her roommates, not even the campus priest she'd once considered speaking to after a sleepless night. The words tangled in her mouth before they ever reached the air. How did you explain something that didn't do anything? Something that didn't threaten or demand, but also didn't leave? It was easier to stay quiet. The shadow remained consistent. That was the part she couldn't ignore, even when she tried. It didn't follow her through rooms. It didn't appear in mirrors or reflections. It didn't touch her. It simply occupied doorways and thresholds, as if those were the only places it was allowed or needed to exist. Sometimes it was there when she went to bed. Sometimes it wasn't. She never knew what decided that. Owen noticed her withdrawal long before she acknowledged it herself. "You don't talk as much anymore," he said one night, when she lay awake staring at the dark ceiling of her dorm room. Mara didn't answer immediately. She had learned that silence sometimes invited more honesty than speech. After a moment, she said, "I don't know what to say anymore." Owen considered this. "You used to talk to me because you needed to," he said. "Now you talk because you're afraid of what happens if you don't." The words landed harder than she expected. Mara rolled onto her side, facing the wall, the way she always did when she felt overwhelmed. She half expected to feel that familiar sensation behind her, the faint pressure, the suggestion of movement. But the bed remained still, for once. She almost wished it hadn't. "Do you ever leave?" she asked quietly. Owen didn't answer right away. "I don't leave you," he said finally. "That's different." The distinction bothered her. She didn't press him on it, but The thought stayed with her long after the conversation ended. As the months passed, Mara began to notice subtle changes, not in the shadow but in herself. She hesitated before entering rooms. She paused at doorways longer than necessary. She slept with lamps on more often, not because she thought the light would drive anything away, but because darkness felt too honest. She dreamed more vividly than ever. Sometimes she dreamed of hallways that didn't end. Sometimes she dreamed of standing in her childhood bedroom, watching the animals move across the floor exactly as they always had. In these dreams, she never tried to stop them. She only watched, knowing that interference had never changed anything before. And sometimes she dreamed of Owen. In those dreams, he didn't speak. He stood nearby, just out of sight, as if respecting an invisible boundary she couldn't see but instinctively understood. When she woke from those dreams, she felt a sense of loss that didn't make sense. During winter break, Mara returned home. The house hadn't changed. The hum of the power substation still vibrated faintly through the ground at night. Her old bedroom still carried the same uneasy familiarity. The makeshift door still leaned against the closet opening when she slept. The animals returned immediately. She watched them the first night, moving in their familiar line along the baseboards. They didn't acknowledge her presence any more than they ever had. They weren't curious. They weren't afraid. They were simply part of the room. The watcher appeared two nights later. It stood in the same place it always had, half contained by the closet frame, its outline just visible enough to register without detail. Mara didn't freeze this time. She didn't hide under the covers or close her eyes. She sat up slowly and looked at it. Nothing happened. The silence stretched until it felt like something she could touch. Mara realized then that she had spent years reacting to this presence without ever truly engaging with it. Fear had framed the experience, but fear hadn't defined it. "What do you want?" she asked softly. The shadow didn't move. Owen said nothing. For the first time, Mara felt something close to anger. Not sharp or explosive, but steady and controlled. She was tired of living around unanswered questions. Tired of shaping her life to accommodate things that refused to explain themselves. She didn't expect a response, so she didn't get one. But something shifted anyway. Not in the room, in her. Mara lay back down and turned her face to the wall, choosing sleep over vigilance. The presence remained where it was, and she let it. In the days that followed, nothing dramatic occurred, no sudden clarity, no disappearance, no escalation. But Mara noticed that when she stopped waiting for the watcher to define her experience, it lost some of its weight. It didn't leave, but it no longer dominated her attention. It became something she acknowledged rather than anticipated. Owen, too, grew quieter, not absent. Just less central. When she asked him why, his answer surprised her. "You're listening to yourself more," he said. That was always the point. Mara frowned. "You never said that before." "I didn't need to," Owen replied. The realization that followed was unsettling in a different way than fear had ever been. Mara began to wonder whether the scariest possibility wasn't that something had been watching her all her life, but that she had needed to be watched, that someone or something had filled the space where guidance, reassurance, and stability should have been, that it hadn't forced its way into her life, but had arrived quietly when she was small and stayed because she never asked it to leave. She didn't know if Owen was a part of her or something separate. She didn't know what the shadow was. She didn't know whether either would ever truly go away. What she knew was this. She was no longer a child standing in someone else's doorway, waiting to be told what was safe. She was choosing her own thresholds now, and when whatever stood on the other side of them would have to learn how to live with that.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are,
and that's who we care about.
Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are,
and that's who we care about.
Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.